Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Key TAM Actions and Information from State and Local Sources Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 30th, 2010, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Graham County Soil and Water Conservation District versus United States ex rel Wilson. This case concerns the False Claims Act, also known as the FCA, which authorizes the Attorney General and private Key TAM relators to recover from persons who make false or fraudulent claims to the United States. The FCA, however, bars Key TAM actions based on the public disclosure of allegations or transactions in, among other things, quote, a congressional, administrative, or government accounting office report, hearing, audit, or investigation, close quote. The question in this case is whether this bar applies to actions based on public disclosures made in state and local reports, hearings, audits, or investigations, in addition to disclosures that come from federal sources of the same kind. In an opinion delivered by Justice Stevens, the court held that the part of the False Claims Act at issue does encompass disclosures made in state and local sources in addition to those made in federal sources. To discuss the case, we have the Washington Legal Foundation's chief counsel, Richard A. Samp. Mr. Samp signed an amicus brief that the Washington Legal Foundation submitted in support of the petitioners. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Samp.
The Federal False Claims Act provides a cause of action to recover funds from those who have made false or fraudulent payment claims to the United States. The FCA is unique among federal statutes in that it includes a Key TAM provision. That is, it permits individual citizens to, in effect, appoint themselves as private attorneys general and seek recovery on behalf of the United States of any fraudulently paid claims. The statutory criteria regarding who is entitled to serve as a private attorney general, generally referred to as a relator, have been expanded considerably over the past several decades. Congress has also made it very financially rewarding for individuals to serve as FCA relators. They are entitled to a bounty of up to 30% of any funds recovered, plus attorney fees. Those financial rewards have attracted a growing cadre of lawyers who do nothing else besides file claims under the False Claims Act. And the issue of who is entitled to serve as a relator is frequently litigated. The U.S. Supreme Court recently decided a case, Graham County Soil and Water Conservation District v. U.S. Ex Rel. Wilson, addressing this issue. While the decision was hardly earth-shattering, and indeed amendments to the law recently adopted by Congress significantly reduced the decision's impact on future FCA cases, the decision provides a useful primer on how courts go about determining the circumstances under which private citizens are permitted to file Key TAM suits under the False Claims Act. Congress adopted the False Claims Act during the Civil War based on its concern that federal government employees on their own could not hope to uncover more than a small fraction of the fraudulent payment claims being submitted to the federal government. By permitting private suits to supplement suits filed by the Justice Department, Congress hoped to encourage those with inside knowledge of fraud to step forward, thereby increasing the percentage of fraudulent payments that were eventually recovered and also deterring future fraud. But Congress did not want to encourage parasitic Key TAM suits, that is, suits by individuals based on well-known events, where the individuals have no non-public information. Under those circumstances, the Justice Department is in a position to file suit on its own and has little interest in being forced to share any monetary recovery with a private party that has brought nothing of value to the table. So the False Claims Act has always included provisions that restrict the categories of individuals who are entitled to file Key TAM suits. In general, One qualifies as a QI-TAM relator only if one has some inside information about the alleged fraud against the federal government. As originally drafted, the FCA's QI-TAM provisions were actually quite permissive, as well illustrated by United States ex rel Marcus v. Hess, a 1943 case in which an enterprising QI-TAM relator made a direct copy of a pending criminal indictment, incorporated those allegations in a civil action under the FCA, and requested his statutory share, then one half, of any subsequent civil judgment. The relator ultimately prevailed in the Supreme Court based on the text of the statute at the time. In response, Congress quickly amended the FCA to bar QI-TAM actions, quote, based on evidence or information the government had when the action was brought, end quote. Nearly 40 years later, the pendulum had swung the other way, as illustrated in United States ex rel State of Wisconsin v. Dean, a 1984 Seventh Circuit case in which the Court of Appeals refused to allow the State of Wisconsin to act as a QI-TAM relator in a Medicaid fraud action. It refused to do so even though the investigation had been conducted solely by Wisconsin and the federal government learned of the fraud only because Wisconsin had reported it. It ruled against Wisconsin because, the court held, the FCA barred QI-TAM actions, quote, whenever the government has knowledge of the essential information upon which the suit is predicated before the suit is filed, even when the plaintiff himself is the source of that knowledge. The Dean decision was the impetus behind Congress's 1986 amendment of the QI-TAM provision. Congress sought to adopt a compromise that avoided the overly permissive pre-1943 QI-TAM provision and the overly strict provision that was in place from 1943 to 1986. The 1986 law, which has remained relatively unchanged, mandates a two-step inquiry. First, a court must determine whether the information contained in a private False Claims Act suit was ever publicly disclosed before suit was filed. If not, then anyone may serve as a QI-TAM plaintiff. But if the information contained in the suit has previously been publicly disclosed, then the suit must be dismissed unless the plaintiff is a true whistleblower, somebody with inside information about the fraud. The Graham County case addressed the circumstances under which information should be deemed publicly disclosed. The plaintiff in that case had no inside information, so if the subject matter of her suit had indeed been, quote, publicly disclosed, end quote, before suit was filed, then her suit was subject to dismissal. The case involved claims that a local government unit in North Carolina that allegedly misspent federal funds it had received in connection with flood cleanup work. A 1996 audit performed by Graham County, North Carolina, concluded that federal funds had indeed been misspent and that local officials had submitted false claims to the federal government in order to receive payment for their work. The question before the Supreme Court was whether the release of the 1996 audit constituted public disclosure of the information that formed the basis of the 2001 QI-TAM lawsuit. The federal statute that defines what constitutes a public disclosure is 31 U.S.C. section 3730E4A. It creates three categories of public disclosure. Category one is a criminal, civil, or administrative hearing. Category two is a congressional, administrative, or government accounting office report, hearing, audit, or investigation. And category three is the news media. So audits are included in category two. The question before the court was whether category two included any sort of administrative audit, or whether it was limited to an administrative audit conducted by the federal government itself. Not surprisingly, the plaintiff opted for the latter interpretation. She noted that other sources of information listed in Category 2, for example, congressional reports, are clearly federal in nature. She asked the court to apply the doctrine of nociter associis, that is, a word ought to be interpreted by the company it keeps, and thus that an administrative audit should mean a federal government audit, not one conducted by a state or local government. The Supreme Court disagreed. It held that the Graham County audit constituted a public disclosure and thus that the plaintiff's suit was barred. The court said that the nociter associis canon of statutory interpretation was inapplicable. It noted that the types of disclosure included in Category 1, which covers, quote, a civil, criminal, or administrative hearing, were not limited to federal proceedings, and thus there was no reason to conclude that Congress intended to impose a federal-only limitation on audits. Moreover, because any disclosure in the news media constitutes a public disclosure under Category 3, the court concluded that Congress could not have intended to include only federal government disclosures within the meaning of a public disclosure. Justice Sotomayor and Breyer dissented. Their principal point was that the audits released by state or local governments might never receive any significant public circulation and thus might never come to the attention of federal officials. But the majority responded that the same might be said for lots of other publicly released reports. For example, a short article in a local newspaper with a tiny circulation. The majority also noted that even though the relator was barred from suing in this case, the federal government was free to bring suit in its own name. Moreover, the court noted, Congress was free to change the law if it disagreed with the court's decision. In fact, Congress did just that and amended the law about 2 weeks before the court issued its decision. So the result is that while the Graham County decision applies to all pending False Claims Act cases, in future cases, a QI-TAM relator will be able to copy her complaint straight from an audit issued by a state or local government without any fear that her suit will be dismissed under the public disclosure bar. Indeed, this marks the second recent occasion on which the Democrat-controlled Congress has overruled a Supreme Court interpretation of the FCA, both times acting to expand the scope of the QI-TAM provision. The prior instance involved the Allison Engine case in 2008. The Obama administration also seems to be coming down strongly in support of QI-TAM plaintiffs. It sided with the plaintiff in the Graham County case and in the process abandoned the Bush administration's interpretation of the public disclosure bar. Plaintiffs' lawyers have a strong interest in facilitating the filing of QI-TAM suits under the False Claims Act, and Democrats in Washington have made it clear that they are very supportive of those interests.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.